To my dearest friends, I am honored to welcome you back once more for a special investigation into one of the most intriguing of Space Marine chapters, which we have thus far encountered in the grim darkness of the far future. The Astartes were always intended to act as the angels of death, serving as mankind's most elite of warriors, where a single strike force could achieve that which an entire army of the Imperial Guard could not. Yet, even with the astonishing capabilities of the various chapters, there is one which stands apart, with its brothers entirely dedicating themselves to mastering the arts of war at the expense of all else. I would, of course, be referring to the mysterious elites of the Mentors. Sometimes named as the Mentor Legion, this chapter acts somewhat differently to that of their cousins, choosing to send only individual Marines or small squads to enact their missions, who will often attach themselves with a larger Imperial army. They will then assert themselves as the new commanders, reorganizing and replanning the overarching strategies of their allies before setting out as lone operatives to carry out missions more personal to the chapter. For the Mentors, every battle and every engagement is to be an opportunity to better decode the military actions of their foes, which will be absorbed and studied so as to better prepare their brothers for the inevitability of their future wars. But today, we shall investigate all that we have thus far learned of the Mentors, starting with their unusual founding before covering their chapter's culture and organization. We will then move on to their secretive fortress monastery before finally covering some of their more notable of engagements. With this, however, I do believe that it is now time for us to begin. No one but the Marines and High Lords themselves know of where their homeworld truly lies, and so we must venture out into the lightless abyss, simply to hope that we do in fact stumble upon the secretive chapter of the Mentors. To begin with, we must understand that the founding tale of the Mentors is one which is soaked in mystery, which, as we will soon learn, is a common trope behind this curious chapter. The Marines were officially brought into existence during the 26th founding, which occurred in the latter years of the 41st millennium. During a founding event, the Lords of the Imperium will typically order for the production of new Astartes chapters who will serve as the counter to a specific threat. This entire process is to be rigorously controlled and documented, so as to curtail the chance of a new chapter falling to the ruinous powers. But with the Mentors, their founding was anything but smooth. Their actual origins begin around 1,000 years prior to their official formation, as it was during the 40th millennium, that the 25th or Bastion founding occurred, which produced a chapter known as the Star Scorpions. They were the 888th chapter of the Marines, originally being stationed within the subsector of Ilara's Veil, found in Segmentum Ultima, as a part of a grouping known as the Adeptus Vailarii. This triumvirate was made up of the chapters of the Emperor's Spears, Celestial Lions, and of the newly formed Star Scorpions, who were tasked with watching over the stellar region and to safeguard it from any emergent threats, be they alien or heretical. Unfortunately, however, the Star Scorpions were beset by a series of unfortunate events which damned their existence forevermore. Firstly, even though the Marines were stable, their gene seed was highly mutated, and they struggled to cultivate viable samples which could be used to produce new brothers. Secondly, after a rather disastrous bout of warp travel, the entire chapter, along with their fleet, vanished into the Immaterium, and after many years, the Imperial Lords were forced to declare that the Star Scorpions were missing, likely to never return. The bioengineers of the Imperium did try to produce new Marines, but despite their best efforts, the gene seed stock was simply too aberrant, and the Star Scorpions were thusly named as dead. But 1,000 years later, during the aforementioned 26th founding, the Adeptus Terror ordained for the 888th chapter to be reborn, no longer as the Star Scorpions, but as the Mentors. The old gene seed was expunged and replaced with that of the Ultramarines, probably chosen as it was reliably pure and unlikely to become corrupted in the same manner as of the prior failure. They were to keep the old chapter colors in the striking split of white and emerald, but inherited a new badge depicted in older sources as an owl and in newer sources as an eagle. Thus, the 888th chapter was to walk again, though the only true relation they shared with the bygone Star Scorpions was of their number and color. Interestingly, the former chapter, though officially declared as missing and presumed dead, was anything but lost. Whilst within the nightmare of the warp, the Star Scorpions underwent a seismic change, casting aside their allegiances to the Emperor, choosing instead to serve the ruinous powers as a new warband of the Chaos Marines. Renaming themselves as the Pure, possibly as an ironic reference to their mutated gene seed, they later went on to re-emerge within Ilara's Vale, raiding and desecrating the worlds and people who they were once so sworn to protect. The Mentors themselves know of the traitors who they replaced, but we can only speculate as to whether or not they bear any shame in being forever associated with a great chapter who fell from the Emperor's grace. The Mentors are quite an unusual chapter of the Space Marines, being Codex compliant perhaps in name only. The Codex Astartes is the ultimate doctrine of the Marines, outlining what organizational structure, battlefield tactics, and diplomatic stance the chapters should take in response to any given scenario. This is all well and good for the majority of the Astartes, but for the Mentors, it seems as though they have strayed and adopted a different set of goals, making them entirely unique from any of their cousin chapters. In brief, it seems as though they exist primarily to learn and master the art of war, with their brothers caring more for the knowledge that could be gained from a battle over the actual terms of victory. Amongst the Marines, the Mentors harbor an extraordinary capacity to absorb new information, which explains as to why they seem to become so highly adept and experienced when faced with a novel challenge. Though they can quickly master most subjects, the chapter will primarily focus its efforts on exploring the various facets of military science. Upon a battlefield, they will be able to rapidly decipher the tactical maneuvers of an enemy commander, codifying their strategies in relation to those of the adversarial species before producing an effective countermeasure to nullify and destroy the opposing army. Further, if an enemy repeatedly gains victory over the Imperium, then they will attempt to prevent those tactics from being propagated throughout the enemy ranks, hopefully so as to keep the victorious foes as isolated as possible. The Mentors will typically be deployed into campaigns which harbor the greatest potential for sourcing new knowledge on the Imperium's enemies, such as would be the case in a battle pitted against a senior Tau commander who leads over an entire coalition. Conversely, they will also be sent to respond to enemies where the Imperium knows next to nothing about their kind. If a new alien empire is discovered, or a renegade strategist breaks away from Imperial rule, Then the mentors will be able to quickly produce a new doctrine which will instruct future imperial armies on how to counter similar uprisings. One of the unusual strategies of the mentors is that they will never be deployed as a large, cohesive force. Other chapters will readily send their companies to march out as one, but for the 888th, they will instead loan out individual squads to allied imperial forces, wherein which they will spread out, disseminating themselves throughout the army. Once attached, the mentors will most often assert themselves as the new commanders, superseding any deployed generals or marshals who will be forced to temporarily relinquish their old station. They will then reorganize the army into the most efficient and battle-ready state possible before setting out for war, with the new strategies often being the linchpin which led the Imperials to victory. The mentors will scatter out their marines to every corner of the galaxy, sending individual squads into dozens of war zones at a time, as it is the most effective way for them to gain as much knowledge as possible on the various enemies of mankind. Also, they will not only be learning about the myriad galactic threats, but also about the strategies of the Imperial armies, which will all be used to influence and improve the specific combat doctrines of the mentors during future engagements. In addition, they will make an effort to better the capabilities of the Imperial commanders who they asserted control from. In any given conflict, they can be sure to find one or two officers who were erroneously promoted beyond their given level of experience, and these outliers will be quickly demoted or dispatched of if it improves the effectiveness of the overarching army. Others, however, who are more suited to their rank, would do well to heed the guiding words of the mentors, who will only tutor them for a relatively short time before being called away to another distant war. On that point, the Imperial Lords will sometimes order for the mentors to send an immediate squad to take command over a battlefield, if they believe that the Imperial forces are beginning to falter. Time and time again, the chapter has shown that but a single squad of 10 well-placed marines has been enough to turn the tides of war, even against foes who are on the cusp of a certain victory. Because of their deployment strategies, they have become one of the most commonly encountered chapters for the Allied forces of the Imperial Guard. At any given time, it is quite likely that somewhere within the galaxy, that an Astra Militarum force is being commanded by a squad of the mentors, who will be sure to lead their new wards to victory. The Marines, though in command, do not shy away from engaging themselves in battle, and thus they have garnered a respectable reputation with the armies of the Imperium, who have repeatedly witnessed their masterful offensives firsthand. With that said, since they are master tacticians, the mentors can often be quite displeased with the inefficiencies found within a conventional Imperial army. The Imperial Guard is rife with slackers, lollygaggers, and nincompoops, who will likely not inspire a great deal of confidence in the eyes of their new commanders. But the Marines will move swiftly to circumvent such problems, even if it means ignoring the Allied army entirely or sending them out to serve as a mere distraction so that the mentors themselves may complete their own missions unperturbed by the substandard humans. Some of the mentors, after dozens of deployments, have grown rather distrusting of the capabilities of their Imperial allies, and they would much rather set out to work alone, free from the bewildered gaze of the untrained guardsmen. For certain campaigns, the mentors will be deployed into a battlefield as lone agents, dispatched to complete specific objectives without the wider Imperial army being aware of their presence. Also, It is not unheard of for the Marines to be sent out on deep reconnaissance missions to investigate anomalous events within the galaxy, particularly if the mission would otherwise be too dangerous for any non-Astartes to complete. For instance, a mentor named as Amadeus was once ordered to pass through the Great Rift and to report on the situation within Ilara's Veil, a fated mission which led to his intertwinement with the Brothers of the Emperor's Spears. The mentors seem to be quite tightly knit with the senior lords of the Imperium, bordering on a level of trust which is seldom seen in any other than of the supplicant Minotaurs. The reason I say this is that the high commanders of the Guard and fellow chapter masters of the Astartes will never outwardly protest the assertions of the mentors, perhaps suggesting that some misfortune could befall them if they were to speak out against their rule. Also, it has been known for the chapter master of the Mentors to permit the Inquisition to use their Marines for clandestine missions, even if the deployed brothers are not informed of the Inquisitor's presence nor intentions. Similarly, the Mentors have been trusted by the High Lords to test out the most cutting-edge and experimental of Imperial weapons long before they are widely disseminated throughout the rest of the Imperium. Some of these tools will have been developed in conjunction with the Battle Brothers of the Mentors, whose own discoveries will have influenced the production of novel weapons designed to exploit a specific weakness in their enemies. Despite accruing an impressive collection of relics and mysterious weaponry through this route, the Mentors do not appear to be particularly sentimental about their treasures. They often do not bother with naming their favored weaponry, nor for spending too much time on adorning their armor with symbols of veneration. Further, they will happily cover up their colors with crude forms of camouflage, a strategy which is rarely shown by the prideful Astartes, who would never dare to cover up their chapter's heritage. But with all that I have said, I believe that the chapter of the Mentors can be best understood by a simple quote spoken by Nisk Ranthal, their chapter master. Strength without wisdom breeds nothing but savagery. Yet wisdom without strength promises nothing but extinction. Despite their unusual deployment strategy, the Mentors still retain a somewhat typical organizational structure, with there being around 1,000 Marines in the chapter, though we do not have any specific information on the substructures of their companies. Regardless, at any one time, it is thought that the chapter will have sent out around 25 tactical squads and 10 squads of their elite veterans to be loaned to the various Imperial armies of the galaxy. This means that around one-third of the Marines will be actively deployed, whereas the remaining two-thirds will be stationed within their fortress monastery, training and cultivating the knowledge gained from their prior expeditions. The tactical squads are set up much in the same way as of their cousin chapters, being made up of 10 Marines who will carry a variety of equipment in order to best respond to a wide range of possible scenarios. With that said, however, they will not be led by a sergeant. The Mentors will be split up during their deployment, sometimes cast out across the surface of a world where they will be expected to work entirely alone, save for the support they hold from their Imperial allies. The veteran Marines from the Mentors are known as the Elite Cadre, and they are to be considered as some of the most advanced and specialized of Space Marine warriors found throughout the entire Imperium. Our older sources stated that each veteran would be roughly equivalent to a minor hero of a cousin chapter, perhaps equating them more to the level of a Primaris Lieutenant or Force Commander, as opposed to just being a typical Stern Guard or Vanguard veteran. In any case, they will receive the finest of training programs, specifically developed from the extensive combat records and battlefield reports produced by the Mentors since their first inception. According to ancient lore, the basic tactical squads were to take on a command role for the Imperial armies, but the elite cadre would be the ones chosen for covert operations, sent out on their lonesome to act as the precise dagger of the Imperium. Some of their objectives would overlap with those of the Imperial Assassins, such as by eliminating an enemy warlord deep in the heart of an alien empire, but the Marines would typically be preferred if it was expected for the mission to evolve, making their experience truly invaluable. Interestingly, some of their missions were said to involve a degree of undercover work, but it is quite amusing to imagine an 8-foot-tall, 300-kilo Marine trying to blend in with a crowd of confused onlookers, perplexed at the veritable giant shuffling in their midst. The Inquisition will often call upon the elite cadre to aid them in specific matters, as they can clearly recognize the unmatched skill set and adaptability of the veteran Marines. Similarly, it is not unheard of for senior Lord Commanders to request for an elite to advise them in segmentum-wide strategies. Though effective, this is quite a risky move, as the Mentor could accurately point out that if the commander was unable to produce a strategy without his aid, then he should not stand as a senior commander at all, thus leading to a quick and humiliating demotion. Still, it makes a lot of sense to seek out the Marines who have studied the art of war to a near obsessive degree for matters of grand strategy, or to locate agents who can carry out covert operations where the lives of billions could be at stake. I mentioned in our last chapter that the Mentors will rarely be deployed en masse as a singular strike force, and whilst this is true, it does not mean that the scenario is completely unheard of. For instance, if their own fortress monastery was ever located and besieged by an adversary, then naturally the chapter would come together to fight as a singular mighty force. Also, we must remember that they are still a chapter of the Adeptus Astartes, and therefore hold certain obligations to the High Lords of the Imperium. If they decreed that the chapter was to assemble on a crusade, or to send an entire company to quell a great threat, then the Mentors would be forced to put down their dusty tomes and accept the call to war. With that said, this will only occur under quite dire circumstances, as the Lords seem to understand the benefits of leaving the Mentors to their own devices, and thus will respect them enough to not waste their men. As with all chapters, the Mentors will hold a vast workforce of serfs, though in this case they are known as thralls. These are humans who have sworn themselves to serve the Marines by performing the more menial of labors needed for the continued functioning of the chapter. For instance, they will aid in the maintenance and sanctification of equipment, or by working as the voidsmen upon the battle barges of their Astartes masters. For the Mentors, their thralls are generational servants, with newborn family members being immediately inducted and put to work as a slave from the moment they are born. To be clear on the matter, though some serfs from other chapters are treated quite well, the thralls of the Mentors are truly to be considered as slaves, with every aspect of their being to be controlled or discarded at the behest of the Marines. In a most macabre form of fashion, the thralls will wear cloaks made of the skins of their ancestors and will carry thick tomes, similarly bound in leathers, tanned from the hides of their kin. This ritual, however, is performed as a sign of respect for their fallen elders. And in fact, the cloaks will be inscribed with the great deeds of their life, penned out in ornate calligraphic ink. The actual process will be carried out during the funeral ceremonies for the fallen, with the skin clothing then to be passed on to the next of kin, who will carry their deeds with them until they too fall in duty. Thralls, who continuously prove themselves as being exceptional in their duties, may one day be lucky enough to be promoted to the rank of Helot, a role which will soon free them from the confines of their monastery. Initially, they will be heavily augmented with a litany of advanced cybernetics before undergoing a rigorous training regime, honing them into quite formidable warriors in their own right. They will not, however, be expected to fight. Every Marine within the Mentor's chapter will be assigned with a personal Helot who will accompany them on their deployments. The human will stay back, most often within a local rhino tank or in a low-orbiting void craft, where they will be able to connect with the sensory systems of their master's equipment and of any hovering servo skulls throughout the field. They will then be tasked with quickly analyzing and deciphering the shifting tides of battle, keeping the Marine informed of minor changes which may soon come to impact his mission. When tactical squads are sent to take control of a faltering army, the Helots will also be dispersed throughout the command structure, further aiding the Mentors in assessing the pitiful state of their new troops. As a result of their deployment strategies, it can be quite hard for us to reliably make any assertions on what the organization of a fully manned Mentor strike force would look like, or indeed, of any events which have necessitated such a mustering. But regardless, they are at their most efficient and most able when attached in small squads to a larger Imperial army. And so, some of you might find it easier to equate their strategies with those of the mysterious alien hunters found within the Death Watch. The Adeptus Terror, though unashamed of the presence of the Mentors, has chosen to enshroud this chapter within a veil of secrecy, almost certainly as a means to keep the prying eyes of the galaxy away from their prized soldiery. Most notably, the location of their homeworld and fortress monastery is known only to a scant few within the Imperial administration, and the Lords will seldom reveal its coordinates, even to their fellow peers. If we look back to the beginning of our tale, we must remember that the Mentors were derived from the forlorn chapter of the Star Scorpions. They had been tasked with protecting the Alara's Vale, and so their homeworld was to be found within the same sector, being named as Common Sen. This world, however, was not inherited by the Mentors, as in fact, after the Scorpions revealed themselves as the chaotic warband of the pure. Common Sen was purged via an exterminatus, condemning over 3 billion souls to death. In any case, we have no indication as to where the Mentor's home system is, or of what segmentum it belongs to, yet in many ways, it truly does not matter. Since we know so little about their fortress monastery, we will similarly be left to speculate on its structure and of the various chambers found within. Almost all marine bases will consist of a fortified outer bastion, containing a sprawling network of specialized rooms dedicated towards training their brothers, venerating the God Emperor, or for studying the doctrines of the Codex Astartes. We do not know if the Monastery of the Mentors stands proud above the world's surface, or if it has been buried deeply beneath the planet's crust. Though, given that secrecy is prized for this chapter, we could presume that the latter would be more likely. We previously discussed that around two-thirds of the chapter will remain within their fortress monastery at all times, whilst the rest will be out on lone deployments to the fellow Imperial armies. Those who have stayed home will spend their days in the sprawling libraries and scriptoriums, studying over the vast amounts of military data received from their prior operations. This will then be interspaced by sporadic bursts of training, often influenced by their research, as they slowly attempt to develop new, more effective methods for combating the nefarious horrors who they were unfortunate enough to encounter. This training will sometimes be assisted by the helots, who must adhere to their master's orders, lest they be removed from duty and branded as incompetent. These humans are seen of by the mentors as being mere tools, equivalent and no more important than of any other weapon or auspex. During training, a helot might be ordered to shoot a marine at point-blank range to test his endurance or to drain the master of his blood, purely as a means of weakening him, forcing him to then work harder to find success. The mentors had developed their training regime after studying their Marines for many years, slowly determining the most effective schedule for reliably enhancing their combat capabilities. They will only sleep for 4 brief hours, which itself is seen of as a slovenly indulgence, yet it is the time needed for recovering from their grueling programs. The remaining 20 hours will be spent in constant training and study, broken up by short periods spent eating or meditating, before once again retreating to the warm embrace of sleep. In our last chapter, I mentioned that the mentors are tasked with testing out the experimental equipment of the Imperium, and as a result of this, they have a rather close association with the tech priests of the Mechanicus. The Martian cultists will quietly deliver them new weapons or tools before quickly departing, eager to discover new technologies out in the vastness of the void. One such piece of equipment would be known as the targeting web. Several separate technologies will come together, including neural implants, sensory enhancers, and helmet modifications to produce a system which will greatly enhance the already impressive reaction times of the Marines. Supposedly, the neural component will interface directly with some of the deeper regions of their brain so as to improve their unconscious reflexes. The Time Warper is another such artifact, though this time it exists as a small, unimpressive box adorned with a few buttons and dials. It will channel the raw currents of the warp, which can then be used to slow down the very flow of time itself. The user, however, will be enclosed within a small bubble, allowing them to freely avoid the distorted time flow, meaning that the outside world will appear to them as though it is moving in slow motion. The shift field is a piece of protective equipment, small enough to attach onto one's belt, which can project an obscuring barrier around an entire squad, distorting the light within and making the Marines almost impossible to see. It is quite common for the mentors to be deployed with enhanced forms of their bolters, sometimes carrying patterns or ammo types, which are yet to be disseminated out through the wider chapters of the Marines. As an interesting point, it was once noted that the mentors were of an unusual size when compared to the Marines of other chapters, though this claim is almost entirely unverifiable. The mentors have been led by their chapter master, Nisk Ranthal, since the first days of their inception, a figure who himself carries a great deal of mystique. It is by his word that the mentors will receive and test out new equipment which, if he deems as being too dangerous, will be returned to the forges, though according to legend he has never shunned the acceptance of new gear. Amazingly, older sources will claim that the chapter master has visited and communed with the Emperor several times, but we have no way of verifying these claims, nor of knowing the subjects which they conversed. I previously mentioned the mentor known as Amadeus, who was dispatched to travel through the Great Rift and to assess the current state of Ilara's veil, along with the status of the Emperor's spears and celestial lions. During this mission, the original 888th chapter of the Star Scorpions emerged from the warp, now being named as the Pure, and invaded the Veil, leading a chaotic war host of traitors and mutants known as the Exilarchy. Rather sadly, much of the Veil was lost, and to make matters worse, the Imperial efforts were hindered due to the influence of the Inquisition, who had secretly infiltrated the Mentor's mission as a way to attack the Celestial Lions as punishment for daring to speak out against their atrocities. The history of the Mentors is unfortunately plagued by such events where, despite their combat experience and knowledge on military matters, scenarios very rarely seem to play out in their favor. For instance, during the conflict known as the Humbling, a warband of the Iron Warriors had invaded an Imperial world after the planetary governor was heard boasting to an Alpha Legion informant that his fortress network was impervious to siege. The Chaos Marines, eager to take up the challenge, set out to the Lord System and began to systematically bombard the Sol Agri world, which was feeding the entirety of the local populace. Not even a year had passed before the Imperial defenders throughout the system were starving. However, relief finally came in the form of an entire company of the Mentors. It is incredibly rare to see a deployment of the Marines this large, yet it simply wasn't enough. The Mentors could not reorganize their food supplies, and so the starved system quickly fell to the Chaos Marines, who routed the surviving loyalists and claimed the worlds for themselves. As another point of failure, in the latter years of the 41st millennium, a fortress of the Mentors was located upon the world of Gorst by a Necron legion led by the ancient Cryptek named as Zeras. The Marines were unable to repel the sudden assault, and the victorious Necron was able to scuttle beneath the fortress to claim a tremendous bounty of the Mentor's gene seed, a blow which could possibly set back chapter recruitments for many centuries to come. Not all of their combat experience has been so disastrous, however. During the Golanth War, the Flesh-Tearers were engaged in a brutal conflict with the forces of the Eldari, who had seemingly doomed their chapter by ruthlessly killing over 350 Marines. Calling for aid, the presiding commander, named as Isaiah, was provided with only five brothers from the Mentors, who quickly asserted themselves and outlined a new tactical plan for the survivors to take. This new strategy ultimately proved itself as being sound, as the battered Flesh-Tearers were able to scour the world of Golanth from its Eldari taint, though the conflict has since remained as one of the darkest of events in Flesh-Tearer history. Commander Isaiah still wears the skull of the enemy Farseer upon his armor as a constant reminder of his failures, and it was said that until the later reinforcements found in the Primaris Marines, that the chapter was unlikely to recover from its immense losses. Across the countless chapters of the Adeptus Astartes, the Mentors do truly stand in a league of their own. Their origins, though tainted by the shadows of heresy left by the fallen Star Scorpions, has done little to mar their growth, as they now stand at the cutting edge of the Imperium's military and scientific mastery. There are very few officers who would ever willingly relinquish command over their own troops, and yet the Mentors exude such knowledge and experience that even the most battle-hardened of generals would find it difficult to deny them of their post. We do not know of what the future holds for the Mentors, as their operations seem to take them across to every corner of the galaxy. Their Marines are constantly dispersed through the stars on new deployments, either to take command of a faltering Imperial force, or to act as lone agents sent into hostile grounds to achieve that which an entire army could not. But in any case, with this, my dearest friends, I do believe that we have now come to our end. Thank you all for listening to this investigation on the Mentors chapter of the Space Marines. But for now, I must once again close this chapter. But know that as I go, that I will wish you all with a very warm goodbye.